702. Weekend Breakfast with Refilwe Mpakanyane.
Live, online,
smartphones,
DSTV channel 856,
92.7 and 106 FM.
It's 7:36 on the Sunday edition of Weekend Breakfast. I'm Refilwe Mpakanyane and I'm with you until 10 o'clock this morning. Welcome to it. If you've just tuned in, thanks so much for choosing 7:02 and Weekend Breakfast to kickstart your Sunday. We're in this part of the show where we talk sustainability, sustainable living. And I found this rather compelling article this weekend, just taking a look at and focusing on the research and work done around Mopani worms, the use of them, the livelihoods that the trade in Mopani worms actually provides in the Southern African region. And just a really fascinating study that was done by Dr. James Sigonya, who is at the Nelson Mandela University of Conservation Management. This study that he conducted was actually done during his time at the University of Cape Town's Department of Environmental and Geographic Sciences. An absolute pleasure to welcome you to Weekend Breakfast. Dr. James Sigonya, welcome to the program. Thank you for availing yourself.
Good morning, Rufila. Thanks for having me.
It really is a pleasure. I mean, quite often, you know, as a South African, I will admit to, you know, eating Mopani worms from time to time, but not really thinking around just the livelihoods that this indigenous species actually creates for so many people. Could you give us a sense of, first of all, the scope of the research that you did? I mentioned that you spent more than 6 years studying Mopani worms, but, you know, what was the sort of point of interest or entry point for studying Mopani worms and the trade in them?
Well, Rufila, first, you would not be the only person who might have not noticed livelihoods around Mopani worms. I think a lot of people don't really recognize them because they just fly under the radar.
Mm.
But they're quite big, they're massive, so hence I did the work I've done and the other work that it preceded mine. My entry into Mopani worm research started in my master's. If you remember, around 2015, 2014, there was a drought up in Limpopo. And that's when I was doing my master's in 2015 at UCT. Mm-hmm. But at the time, I looked at Mopani worm livelihoods and environmental change. So I looked at that drought and habitat change and destruction around and the impact it's having on people's livelihoods and the traders. And then after my master's, my supervisor was keen to have me hang around a lot longer. So I did my PhD, which looked at how actors, these are the harvesters and the traders, navigated the different governance systems across the whole value chain. So that included study areas in Botswana where a lot of harvesting takes place in the central district, and then the trade all the way into South Africa in Vembe district and in Mopani where there's a lot of trading taking place. And then, of course, I got insights from people who also trade elsewhere further down in Polokwane and in Johannesburg as well.
Yeah, I mean, just reading the sort of the write up, the article around your study of Mopani worms and the trade thereof within the Southern African region, upward of $40 million annually, depending on the quality of the harvest. You know, I think part of the reason I think that you alluded to, which is part of the reason why Mopani worms and the trade of them flies under or goes unseen by so many people is, you know, we generally view it as something that is historically sort of harvested and consumed at a household level, but it is a much bigger initiative. Give us a sense of how big this industry is and of course how it operates, how it works.
Sure. Look, the last estimate which was done by Dr. Makado in 2014, which is quite some time back, they estimated to be worth around 39 million to 100 million US dollars. Now, you convert that to the current exchange rates, then you realize that it's massive. The whole region really is the true value is realized once the actors cross international borders, because then the market becomes bigger and the demand becomes much more larger than within an individual country. Now, my study looked at areas in Botswana and the pooling factors in South Africa, which were really massive. People's disposable incomes, people are able to buy Mopane worms, but it's not only purely for just buying as a product. There are very strong cultural associations, if you will. You know, people identify and take pride in eating Mopane worms. One of the things that might have led to Mopane worms as a resource and other similar edible insect resources for being overlooked, I think people often associate this with poverty. They associate this with backwardsness, if for lack of a better term.
Sure.
However, people have kept this resource relevant for so long. Globally, the edible insects movement is gaining traction. And resources like this now are coming into the mainstream. And they offer a lot of advantages over alternative sources of protein, like, red meat, which is water intensive and it's not very sustainable and it produces a lot of greenhouse gases.
Sure, sure.
Now, we've got a sustainable resource here that can be harvested with negligible impact on the environment if done through sustainable practices. And that, I think, it's the time is just perfect for it to come into the mainstream, so that we stop overlooking this and start to exploit it for the true value in terms of the economic value, but also the advantages it offers in terms of sustainability and its minimal impact
sure.
on the environment.
Absolutely. As a region, how are we looking in that regard? How are we gearing ourselves up for the sort of global push, as you just mentioned, for alternative sources of protein, right? Moving away from cows and meat, traditional or meat products in that regard, and just finding alternatives. How are we gearing ourselves up to respond to the global demand for this, if at all?
I think there's two perspectives to this. First, I think we are lagging behind in terms of farming and commercializing edible insects broadly. So, we're talking about Mopane worms, Tongoliba, mm-hmm. we're talking about locusts, etc., you name them, as food and feed for livestock or for feeding animals. So we're lagging behind when compared to the global movement. But second, I think we also have a lot of advantages in the sense that there's wide diversity of species that we have access to, mm-hmm. and we have long history of utilizing those. And we have, we have good understanding of sustainable practices of harvesting them. And we also have customary forms of regulating use and access of these resources. So, we don't have to reinvent the wheel,
okay.
and we don't have to chuck out everything that we know and adopt the commercially driven practices. We have all the ingredients to develop sustainable livelihoods around edible insects holistically. So I think we are on one side, we are on the back foot, but on the other, we've got all the right ingredients to be the world leader as a region.
We just need to kick them into action. Now, of course, your study looks at the fact that our market in South Africa is supplied by imports from both Botswana as well as Zimbabwe. But this Mail and Guardian article where read about your work alludes to the fact that there's a need to streamline statutory governance approaches to sort of safeguard informal and resource-based livelihoods. What might those be? You've alluded to the fact that they already exist from a customary level, those sort of guardrails, but from a statutory perspective and trade between these three countries, what do you think needs to happen?
I think the policymakers and people in charge of developing these and implementing them need to really think about a typical Mopane worm harvester and trader. So, for example, in South Africa, we have, I think it's the National Environmental Management Biodiversity Act. Mm-hmm. And in Botswana, they have Agricultural Resources Conservation Act, which, you know, are completely different legislation, and they come from different perspectives. However, in Botswana, they speak explicitly about how and when should somebody harvest Mopane worms, the quantity, the time of the year, and the permits, etc. It's clearly laid out.
Okay.
It's a very brief piece of legislation. In South Africa, I don't recall that we speak explicitly about Mopane worms as they do in Botswana. However, in those permitting requirements in Botswana, they require everybody, the players, to get permits at every stage, you know, to harvest, to trade, to export, etc. And those can be quite exorbitant for a typical harvester or a typical trader. And from that perspective, they're very exclusionary. Now, in South Africa, while we don't really have regulations that speak explicitly about Mopane worms, what we do have is that we have a lot of pieces of legislation for traders and street vendors, that somebody has to get a permit from the municipality.
Sure.
Somebody has to, you know, there's just so many hoops that one has to jump through. And what I believe is that if we want to bring Mopane worm trade as a livelihood into the mainstream, I think, for example, these countries need to sit down and streamline the process of facilitating import and export, as, you know, so Africa is trying to move into a free trade area. So mm-hmm. I think things like this need to be streamlined so that at the end of the day, a typical Mopane worm livelihood actor is not impeded by, you know, a confusing and overlapping and sometimes contradictory regulations that they need to comply with along the whole value chain. Because once you do that, what then you do is you're allowing people from either side of the border to participate in this trade and to realize the true potential and value of the trade with minimal obstacles.
Yeah, we're going to have to leave it right there. But thank you so much for spending a bit of your Sunday morning with us. And of course, the work that you've done, 6 years in the making. Dr. James Sikonya is the author of the report that we've just been unpacking. He's at the Nelson Mandela University in Conservation Management.